You see, I have my personal view on the outstanding universal value. Let me first make a general remark out of the history of the convention. The history of the convention in the beginning was clearly that people said themselves, outstanding universal value is something endless. We have to set a number, and the number should be 100 for the natural, 100 for the culture. In 75, therefore, Hal Eidsvik was in charge of IUCN. I gave the money to support it. We did the world's greatest natural areas, which were 100. We discussed the numbers and said, we take 100, then we select outstanding universal value, and saying, with 100, it's finished. And then we see what could be really come under the first 100. But then we stop and distribute this equally. For culture, the cultural people were completely lost with the World Heritage Convention. Completely. They spoke for hours and fighting each other, saying, should we take the best of the best? Should we take the best of its category? Should we take the most threatened one? They never told about numbers. Instead, if you don't do this, you get to the situation in which you are today. Because what happened in the cultural field? First, we were thinking, really, we take the best two or three sites from different periods for industrial heritage. So we would take, for our time, we say the best, most exciting thing is the launching of rockets. It's the most typical, most characteristic, and really an immense culmination of the technological process and of communication and so on. So we take a rock launching site for the 20th century. And for the 19th century, we take for the new industrial revolution an iron steel thing and so on. But today we are discussing, for example, under industrial heritage, that we have railways. Well, then we have railways of different types. We have the suspended magnetic train. We have the metro, the best metro of the world. We have the switchback train system. So the subcategorization which is happening justifies any amount of entries under the outstanding universal. It's a subcategorization. And the loss that world outstanding universal value is only achievable in conservation terms for the international community, which has limited money, limited time, limited capacity, all the device, is only operational if there is a boundary set by the numbers. Otherwise, you could continue with endless numbers through the formation of subcategories. Look at the at the industrial sites, industrial heritage. I'm taking this. It's not my field, but you know more about it. But you can take the coffee plantations, but you can plant whatever. You can take the best plantations of orange trees, and you can take the oldest ones of olive trees. And you can take salt mines, the best salt mines. We got several ones already on the list. You can take all the different minerals, you can all take all the different metals, and you can then at the same time the different types of technological processes, how to work on these metals and so on. So with other words, you could proliferate practically endless, in my view, through the forming of subcategories. You could expand still the cultural heritage endlessly. And still saying it's outstanding universal value, because you find under these subcategories still, again, the best and the best ones.
Do you think that that understanding was in the minds of the countries when they negotiated the convention?
You see, the problem is that over the years, the institutional memory is going lost, or has again and again, people have to go through the same experience and may even draw other conclusions. The whole problem of World Heritage is you make an assumption now for the future, as if the future would be like now in the perception of values and so on. This is the first assumption with which we live in World Heritage, which is partly a good assumption, partly it's a wrong assumption. Secondly, the question of outstanding universal value as it is formulated now, did not exist. It existed in a much simpler form that they said at that time, we will have a limited number, about 100 at the first session, the people we are talking about it. Still later on, when we had, I think at the third session, even 40 properties inscribed at once, they were thinking already a bit of 200. IUCN still thought for many years about 100, now they are thinking about 200. But for the cultural, and IUCN still is quite selective. Not that there are not many outstanding areas in the world, and the convention doesn't say that there are not other outstanding properties of outstanding universal value. If they are not on the list, yes, they are, and they must be. But the convention, the obligation of the committee is to watch also that it remains practicable, credible, achievable, fundable, and serviceable.
You're basically talking about capping the list, and how would you turn back inscriptions from states parties? I mean, even today, in 2007, we still have over 50% of the nominations that are going to be looked at this year are from Europe, North America. How would you turn that? It's imbalanced. It has always been imbalanced.
I would say for those countries which I would have say you have new ones on the list, we will consider if you withdraw other ones from the list. I think for World Heritage we have no other choice. We have no other choice. Or we mine the system. That means we put so much materials into this list that we become absolutely ridiculous. I cannot understand the stupidity internationally, and I'm very frank, that one doesn't see that you have to cap the whole thing. And that you have to look at the carrying capacity. And this carrying capacity, since a number of years, is not taken into account. And the quality of what's going done, the quality of work is in some ways going down, of course, and the credibility.
You mean the quality of the nominations or the quality of the ability of the system to look after?
The quality of the system to look after.
Would you reduce the number of sites that are on the list right now? It's currently at 830. Presumably it'll be about 880 or
75? If a credible servicing could be done, which I doubt for this number, I would say, by God. I personally feel that already 100 top cultural sites like Angkor and others demand such a tremendous effort to fix it properly for the future, that I personally think, to the extreme, I would think IUCN is on the right track with maximum 200 sites. And if we take that culture is a much more diversity, so we would say culture perhaps 500 sites. I would somehow, in this order of magnitude, think there's a maximum of the maximum. Maximum of the maximum. But we are very close to be completely overeaten or having overfed the system.